Chapter 3. The Words of Húrin and Morgoth. Now by the command of Morgoth, the orcs with great labor gathered all the bodies of their enemies, and all their harness and weapons, and piled them in a mound in the midst of the plain of Anfauglith. And it was like a great hill that could be seen from afar. And the Eldar named it Howdh en Nirnaeth. Grass came there, and grew again, long and green, upon that hill alone in all the desert. And no servant of Morgoth thereafter trod upon the earth beneath which the swords of the Eldar and the Edain crumbled into rust. The realm of Fingon was no more, and the sons of Feanor wandered as leaves before the wind. To Hithlum none of the men of Hador's house returned, nor any tidings of the battle and the fate of their lords. But Morgoth sent thither men who were under his dominion, swarthy Easterlings, and he shut them in that land and forbade them to leave it. This was all that he gave them of the rich rewards that he had promised them for their treachery to Maedhros, to plunder and harass the old and the children and womenfolk of Hador's people. The remnant of the Eldar of Hithlum, all those who did not escape into the wilds and the mountains, he took to the mines of Angband, and they became his thralls. But the orcs went freely through all the north, and pressed ever southward into Beleriand. There Doriath yet remained, and Nargothrond. But Morgoth gave little heed to them, either because he knew little of them, or because their hour was not yet come in the designs of his malice. But his thought ever returned to Turgon. Therefore Húrin was brought before Morgoth, for Morgoth knew by his arts and his spies that Húrin had the friendship of the king, and he sought to daunt him with his eyes. But Húrin could not yet be daunted, and he defied Morgoth. Therefore Morgoth had him chained and set in slow torment. But after a while he came to him and offered him his choice, to go free whither he would, or to receive power and rank as the greatest of Morgoth's captains, if he would but reveal where Turgon had his stronghold, and aught else that he knew of the king's counsels. But Húrin the steadfast mocked him, saying, "Blind you are, Morgoth Bauglir, and blind shall ever be, seeing only the dark. You know not what rules the hearts of men, and if you knew, you could not give it. But a fool is he who accepts what Morgoth offers. You will take first the price, and then withhold the promise, and I should get only death if I told you what you ask." Then Morgoth laughed, and he said, "Death you may yet crave of me as a boon." Then he took Húrin to the Howdh en Nirnaeth, and it was then new built, and the reek of death was upon it. And Morgoth set Húrin upon its top, and bade him look west towards Hithlum, and think of his wife and his son and other kin. "For they dwell now in my realm," said Morgoth, "and they are at my mercy." "You have none," answered Húrin, "but you will not come at Turgon through them, for they do not know his secrets." Then wrath mastered Morgoth, and he said, "Yet I may come at you and all your accursed house, and you shall be broken on my will, though you all were made of steel." And he took up a long sword that lay there, and broke it before the eyes of Húrin, and a splinter wounded his face. But Húrin did not blench. Then Morgoth stretching out his long arm towards Dorlomin, cursed Húrin and Morwen and their offspring, saying, "Behold, the shadow of my thought shall lie upon them wherever they go, and my hate shall pursue them to the ends of the world."